This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Genesis from chapters 38 to 40, picking up with Judah deceived, Tamar vindicated, faithful Joseph, hell hath no fury, and Joseph in prison. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the
reading from Luke chapter 19. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put the money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
One prayer per step, please. One prayer per step. Several years ago, I was in Rome, and I found my north end at the south end of about 25 nuns. I decided to crawl on the steps across from the Lateran, St. John's Lateran, the steps that reportedly showed up in Rome about the 12th or 13th century from the Praetorium in Jerusalem. The wood covering was off them for this certain period of time. They were worn deeply. Luther had climbed these very steps. I wanted to see what it was like. I prayed an Our Father for Herb Miller, who was suffering cancer at the time, with every step. But a bunch of nuns were hogging things and slowing things down. And I thought, nothing has changed. Luther was there in 1510 on the very steps. No doubt somebody was right there saying, one prayer per step, one prayer per step. When he got to the top, he wondered, praying for his relatives in purgatory, if it was true or not. There's an indulgence plaque right at the beginning of the steps. Every faithful Catholic receives so many years off purgatory. Rome is magnificent, but you go around, you find plaques for indulgences everywhere, jubilee entrances, doors that open, jubilee years, all indulgences, precious little of the gospel despite all the great things, the true and historic things that are there. I thought about this and Luther's quest for certainty as I read this parable today. It has something to say about certainty and probably not what we'd like to hear. Have them slaughtered. No, I don't like that. It's obvious in the parable the king is Jesus. His triumphal entry comes right next in the Gospel of Luke. His return is an eschatological theme that is connected with his crucifixion and resurrection and second coming. The slaves, his servants, are the religious leaders of Jerusalem. The citizens, their supporters, no doubt. He gives them the minas and he goes away. He entrusts them with his affairs and he says, do business. Pragma toisas the. Pragma. Do something. Through the centuries, the fathers all interpreted these minas variously. Tertullian saw it as a warning against laziness. Jerome had his own interpretations. Augustine, maybe closest to Luther, believed it was grace. The medieval theologians thought it was the gift of grace, which one had to apply to himself to merit salvation. Luther says it involves the office of the ministry, the praedicamt, and the gifts that the praedicamt gives. He summoned his servants, Luther says, not without a call. See, you shouldn't be preaching without a call. The minas are the amt and the gospel. If you're called to the praedicamt, invest the Lord's gold. Don't mix your own money with his accounts. That is, preach God's word and the gospel purely without addition of human doctrine. And he says, he who has the gifts of God is to use them for the salvation of his neighbor. That's how the gift is invested and increased. He who does not so use the gift will have the gift taken away. It's kind of terrifying. It's kind of terrifying. The wicked servant just didn't do anything. He didn't do anything bad. He just didn't do anything. He didn't even put the money in the bank to earn interest. And he receives this absolute condemnation in the parable. I heard somebody say recently that he had asked a woman, how's your pastor doing? And the woman said, our pastor is like God. Really? Like God? Yes, he's invisible 6 days a week, and on the seventh, he's inscrutable. The parallel to the servants and the citizens and the one who is condemned finally, the parallel to that in the parable today is you and I. We are the scribes and Pharisees. We are the Herodians and the Sadducees. We are the ones who love to take the best in first places. We are the ones who study texts, but do it with pride, contention, self-seeking, envy. We are the religious experts. We bear the brunt of this parable. If you don't think this applies to yourself, you're a liar. You know full well, I know what lurks in my heart. I know the greed and envy, the hatred, the jealousy that constantly traps me. Certainty? Bring them here and slaughter them. I don't like this parable. Kyrie eleison. And right away they sang to him, Hosanna, son of David. The crowds received him. They had to crucify him at night away from the crowds to get away with it. Christ is ours. Christ is yours. When it's all said and done, we are but unworthy servants. We have merely done what we've been told. My friends, there's an atonement. Our blessed Lord sacrificed himself for us. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, forgives us all our sins. You, my friends, have been paid for. You have been bought with a price. That price is the precious blood of the Son of God, divine blood. Luther says, if Jesus is not God in the flesh, his blood does not outweigh the sins of the world, but because he is God and man, it easily tips the scale our way. Luther famously achieved certainty. Well, the gospel achieved a certainty for him. Not finally until 1518 in April, according to Brecht, with a sermon on two kinds of righteousness. And he discovered, finally breaking from Augustine clearly, that the righteousness that a Christian receives by faith as a gift of grace is an alien righteousness. And that righteousness is Christ, it is perfect, it has been applied to every one of your accounts. The gospel merely says, here, take what is yours, believe it. And it is so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
I cry to you, O Lord.
Lord, my prayer comes before you.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with the Holy Spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all day.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness.
O God,
bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. O Lord, stir up the hearts of your faithful people to welcome and joyfully receive your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that he may find in us a fit dwelling place. who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Watch over us, O Lord, Heavenly Father, and preserve us from every peril which may happen to the body and soul. Guard and bless your church. Graciously remember in your mercy those who are in sickness, in need, and in peril. Have mercy on all mankind, and when at length our days, our last evening comes, grant us to fall asleep in your peace, that we may awake in your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father,
through Jesus Christ, through your Son, that you have kept me this time from all harm and danger, and I pray that you will keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
I'm doing something that we don't normally do in our chapel today. I'm taking a privilege to welcome several groups on campus. The first group that I would love to welcome are all of the we've got some presidents from various places. So first of all, we welcome President Matthew Harrison and thank him for his very fine sermon today. We also have James Bonick on campus, who is, please stand up, in charge of pastoral education in the LCMS synodical offices. And my colleague, my good colleague and friend, Tom Egger, the president of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. There he is. I was almost worried that you were going to embarrass yourself by not being here. No. Good. We also have two other groups on campus. Well, I see Dr. Mudge, who is the provost at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. I'm sure I'm missing somebody else. Please forgive me if I have. We have the Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne Board of Regents here. If you would stand up as well. Good Lutheran sitting in the back. And we also have the Concordia Seminary St. Louis Board of Regents on campus. If you would stand up. See, it shows you how much more Lutheran CTSFW is. Today we have our joint Board of Regents meetings. We do this once a year, and it's a great blessing for both institutions. It's a blessing for the presidents. It's a blessing for the faculty to have these regents here on campus who faithfully govern the institutions of the church that are so critical for the faithful proclamation of the gospel and the right administration of the sacraments. So thank you all for your service and for being here. There's another group that's here on campus as well that I'd like to welcome, and it is our Luther Hostel participants. I understand that this is the biggest ever Luther Hostel group that we've had. I had the privilege of spending it was actually like 2 hours with them last night. I put them through their paces in a little close reading of the Augsburg Confession, but if you would be willing to stand up as well so we can see who you are, that would be great. We are delighted to have you on our campus. Thank you for being here. And finally, what I want to do is I want to introduce the first vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Reverend Peter Lang, who is here to present an award. So please come on up, President Lang.
Thank you, President Bruss. I'm going to invite Dr. Schultz to come forward. Many of you know that the LCMS has a pastoral colloquy committee whereby men who were not LCMS when they attended the seminary and when they attended a seminary which was other than one of our two LCMS seminaries, such a man can later become an LCMS pastor through the colloquy committee, of course, assuming that he has by then become a convinced Lutheran. And that colloquy process involves an interview, and it often involves then coursework or additional work that the colloquy committee assigns. The colloquy committee consists of four people. The first vice president of the LCMS, who chairs the committee, and then one district president who is elected by the Council of Presidents, and then the two seminary presidents or their representatives. And from 2017 until 2024, in a full-time capacity, Dr. Schultz represented the president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, on that colloquy committee, and I believe for years prior to that, sort of in an intermittent sort of way, he also served on the pastoral colloquy committee. And it's several meetings ago, Dr. Schultz's service on the committee came to a conclusion, and somewhat belatedly, we wanted to acknowledge that today. It's just been a pleasure for me to have served with him for about 5 years, from 2019 when I began as first vice president until his conclusion. So Dr. Schultz, I'd like to present a bit of a gift here, but also this plaque, which says, and you can come up please, in appreciation of Reverend Dr. K. Detlev Schultz, Colloquy Committee for the Pastoral Ministry, 2017 to 2024, for your dedication, faithful service, pastoral counsel, and Christ-centered, cross-centered, mission-focused contribution to enhancing the ministerium of the LCMS. Well done, good and faithful servant. Matthew 25, verse 23.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for this honor. It has been, as you have rightly said, many, many years that I've served on this committee, going back to Vice President Diekelmann, then David Preuss, Müller, and now President Lang. So it's been a challenge always to interview pastors who want to go and join the Synod from outside, but the process that is given in the Colloquy Committee is good and fair, and the proper way of bringing pastors in. And one of the big challenges over the years had been also to colloquize the licensed deacons and see their fitness, determine their fitness for the ministry. And it was also a pleasure to interview our current president of this seminary, Dr. John Bruce. And I don't regret that having passed him yet. So thank you for this honor. Thank you.
Thank you all for being here, and we will continue with coffee over in the Student Commons. Please join us there.